Chairman, good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, board members, and the audience. My name is Richard Booth. I am senior geologist and supervisor of the TMDL and Basin Planning Unit in the South Lake Tahoe office. I'm here today to present the 2013 Triennial Review, formerly known as the 2012 Triennial Review. I came before you for two scoping meetings held in September here in Barstow and October in South Lake Tahoe to present current basin planning projects and to propose new ones in order to prioritize a list of projects for staff to address over the next 3 years. Based on comments from the public and stakeholders, comments from board members, and staff evaluations, staff presents to you today a prioritized list of basin planning projects and request that you adopt this list. I'll spend the next 15 or 20 minutes explaining the list. Bullet number one, what is a triennial review? It's a process that's required by state federal law to update the basin plans. This process involves prioritizing a list of topics, or what I will call projects, that you, the board, direct your staff to work on. There's not enough funding to work on all the possible basin planning projects. Bullet number two, there were 21 projects proposed during the previous scoping meetings and during the comment period over the last couple months. On this final list before you in your package, there are actually 25 proposed projects that have the potential to amend the basin plan. A few projects were added based on, like I said, the comment period. Staff has identified 11 of them as projects with available resources. That's an additional 4 projects from the original list we submitted during the scoping process. We're very pleased about that. We think we can do more projects that are beneficial than we originally thought. A couple reasons for that. Number one, staff has reallocated staff time. We originally thought we'd have 5.7 PYs, or personnel years, over the next 3 years to do these projects. But we, in fact, have reallocated our resources in our office, and we have 6.6 PYs available to work on our basin planning projects over the next 3 years. And another reason we can add some projects with available funding is because we've re-evaluated the time it would take to do some of these projects. Some of these projects may extend into the next triennial review period so that we don't need as much time, or we're not planning on spending as much time on some of those projects during this triennial review period as we originally thought. One example of that is the salt and nutrient groundwater management plans. We'd originally allotted a bunch of hours, PYs rather, to work on those over the next 3 years, but we realized, reevaluating the schedule, that we're not going to be able to do as much work on those. They're going to wind up being worked on a lot in the following triennial review period. Bullet number three there, what's the difference between projects with available resources versus those requiring additional resources? We have an additional 14 projects that we don't have funding for. Staff has recommended the priority list to include those projects that we have funding as the ones we should be working on, and that leaves about 14 projects where we just don't have the funding to work on them, at least that we can see now. Having said that, though, there's a good chance we'll be able to work on some of them for reasons I'll explain later in my presentation that we should consider as projects that are, like I say, possible for us to work on. I don't want to imply that we can never touch any of the other projects. That's the only point I want to make there. And then finally, bullet number four, I want to address briefly the responses to comments. Staff produced a final triennial review report. It included responses to comments received. We posted that report on our website on December 20th. The next day, we sent out notices to all the interested parties that the report was available, how they could access it. And the comments and the staff responses are also included in your package. It's attachment B, beginning on base stamp page 1351. Most of the comments were from interested parties promoting a proposed project as priority. There was one example where a proponent asked staff not change the basin plan, and that was the Tahoe Truckee Sanitation Agency. Project number 18 involves revising a statistical treatment of water quality monitoring data. They would rather we not change that statistical treatment. for technical reasons. But most of the proponents wanted their projects to be prioritized and us to work on them. Most of the comments received address project number 2, which is the revision of the bacteria water quality objectives. I'm going to discuss that one a little bit further in my presentation because it is the project we're proposing to devote most of the PYs to. And I do want to mention at this time, concerning that particular project, the revision of bacteria water quality objectives, we received a letter day before yesterday from Mr. Bill Thomas, addressed to board members and some staff. I believe that letter has been handed out to board members. It's or will be soon. We got it recently, so I'm not going to respond to the letter. I don't have time to have done that. But I just want to make you aware that we're still receiving comments on this issue. The slides that list the projects you've seen before at the scoping meetings, the difference being, like I say, we've added 4 projects to the priority list, the above-the-line list, the projects that we have funding for. So I'm going to run through them briefly. The description of each of these projects are in your package. Again, you've seen these before. Obviously, feel free to stop me, though, if you want to discuss any of these individually. So of the 11 total projects that we have funding for to work on, I've listed 4 of the prohibition amendments, as we call it. It's also known as the Lahontan revisions. This is something that is you'll see the scoping meeting for soon, for amending the basin plan to make some corrections, additions, clarifications, and such, primarily concerning prohibitions, but it addresses a few more topics. Project 2 is a revision of water quality objectives for bacteria. We're recommending 3.5 PYs during this triennial review period for staff to work on revising our bacterial water quality objectives. I have another slide to discuss that further later. Project 3, remove the municipal beneficial use designation from 2 groundwater basins in China Lake. We're devoting estimating 0.4 PYs to complete that process for de-designated municipal use and changing our basin plan to make that a reality. Number 4 is incorporate a septic system policy into the basin plan. State boards adopted a policy. We are required by state board to adopt that policy. We are working with internally in our unit to determine how much we're going to incorporate it whole or make any changes to our basin plan that we want to have something different than what the state board policy is. These 3 topics are just the management of the program. Time for the program management. I attend monthly meetings that the basin planning folks meet from other regions to discuss issues of interest. The next triennial review is budgeted, and then there's miscellaneous work that goes on to manage the project. The project of considering changes to the Lake Tahoe nearshore water quality objectives is ongoing and something that we would like to have prioritized as an issue to work on. This is generated by legislative request, so that's one of the reasons it's high priority. And then what we've added to, as I say, above the line or projects that have additional resources are our 2 salt and nutrient management plan down south here, Antelope Valley and the Mojave Basin. This is a state board policy generated project. It may take us more than just this current triennial review period to do it, but we want to devote 0.3 PYs over the next 3 years to work on each of these. And finally, we have a project that we call Update Chapter 5. This is where the Tahoe Regional Planning Agency has revised their regional plan, and we need to make sure our basin plan is in agreement with that. We have some time allotted to that to do that very type of revision. So that's 11 projects on our list that we would have funding for, which is a total of 6.6 PYs. And there's other resources available too, which I'll get into later. Now I want to take a moment to talk about the revisions to the bacterial water quality objectives, because this one had some original options that we recommended the staff, the board, and the public consider during the scoping meeting process. And our final recommendation to you that we have in the staff report is to indicate the work necessary to continue with our revisions to the bacteria water quality objectives and all the work that's going on and the work that needs to be completed before we can do so. I'm going to refer you to, in your package, date stamp page 1341, that's a table, because I want to take a little bit of time to explain some of the efforts that are underway. It's table 3 in the staff report, and it's a 3-page table, and it lists most of the efforts that are underway for staff to consider revision to the bacteria water quality objective. And in this table, one of the rows indicates that, actually, I don't know if it's a row, I'll just say it. Point number one up here on the slide, the US EPA has come out with criteria for recreational use of water, and this, we weren't sure when they'd come out with it, but it so happens that that has become public in the front, the time from the last scoping meeting to the present. So we've just now got it, and we're evaluating it, and we're working with state board staff for what types of revisions they may consider based on this US EPA criteria, and then what other types of revisions we may have that may differ from state board staff as we go forward with revising water quality objectives. The biggest factor of this EPA criteria is that the EPA recommends that a specific pathogen, bacteria known as E. coli, be the pathogen of the standard that we will use for folks to have full contact with the water, what we would call REC 1. The current standard is fecal coliform as an indicator bacteria. US EPA is recommending E. coli be used, and we're definitely considering that as a change at a minimum. And then we'll consider, of course, what would be the appropriate standard for that. Other things going on. We've got a Proposition 84 grant you'll see on Table 3. This is almost $750,000 to be spent over several years in looking at grazing management practices, sampling water, having bacteria sample labs set up so that we can do this work. This grant concludes in 2016. We're in the middle of this grant. This is work that's ongoing and is yet to go. That's important for us to have the results of which before we can come up with any realistic standards that we might want to revise. There are folks, staff in our agency, other than basin planning people that work on these grazing issues. They form internally what we call a grazing advisory group, row number 2 on our table. They consist of people from our non-point source program. They consist of people from our swamp surface water ambient monitoring program. They're working actively and have been on what is appropriate bacteria standards. We're monitoring eastern Sierra streams for bacteria. We're doing this in the course of the summer season when the streams are accessible. We try to get pre-grazing samples. We try to get samples collected while grazing is going on. And we try to get samples when the cows leave the area to consider the effect of grazing. We also consider the effects of other types of input of bacteria, such as wildlife, septic systems, and campgrounds. All the possible sources of bacteria in our water streams are considered. I'll just skip through. I don't need to go through each item. I just want to make the point of how much work and effort is going on. And finally, on bullet number 3 there, I just want to point out that concerning the Bridgeport Valley specifically, there's a grazing waiver that's in effect. This grazing waiver you folks adopted, I think it was July of 2012. It's in effect for 5 years. It has an interim standard of bacteria of 200 colony-forming units per 100 milliliters as a, like I say, interim standard that gives us the time period, if you will, to work on possibly revising our standards such that the folks in the Bridgeport Valley are not held to the 20 standard. And as a Table 3 points out, I think if you look at some of those timelines, it will take us certainly at least 3 years to gather the data that we've outlined in these streams and in the sampling programs to come up with information we need to evaluate what a new standard should be. So we're looking at a 3 to 5 year period to work on these items for revision of our bacteria standards. In 3 years, we should have a good idea of what direction we're headed, and then after that would come the process, if we decide to in fact adopt new standards, of changing the basin plan. And that process is a year-long project, even more sometimes. I'm going to briefly mention the projects that we don't have available resources, but are nonetheless projects that we may work on should resources come available. And they include hydromodification. I think you folks got a good idea of that effort, or that type of impact water quality, during the renewable energy talk. Biological indicators may be used to determine water quality in our streams. There's an effort underway by State Board to deal with that, and we would consider incorporating that, and we would like to work on that if we can. There's an issue of groundwater withdrawal in Squaw Valley and how it affects the creek there. We have an issue with Hot Creek water quality objectives, and our permitting process has some inconsistencies we'd like to work on and correct. There's a similar type of thing for fish springs in the Owens Valley. We have site-specific objectives considerations, anyway, for the Susan River. That's dealing with the wastewater treatment operation plant there and their discharge. Number 18, we call it revised Chapter 3 for water quality objective compliance. That's a statistical test used to determine whether a water body should be listed as impaired. There's some pro and con scientific debate on what that should be. Project 19, Dairies Strategy. This is something that's primarily concerning the folks down south in our dairies and how we should be regulating them. We have the possibility of having a biological beneficial use for the Mojave River. We are certainly looking for ways to do that by merging with other work going on, such as the biological indicator work. There's a clarification of Table 2.1 in our basin plan concerning the Mojave River, but I believe the Lahontan prohibition effort may have incorporated that work, so we may be able to successfully conclude that particular project as a result of another thing going on concerning the basin plan. A requester had a comment about Eagle Lake and landowner there. We've allotted some time. We'd like to work on, if possible, to address their concern. It may be able to be addressed while we work on maybe some of the permitting issues that are going on at Eagle Lake. Copper industry representative on that last one there had a request to use a particular model to determine the copper impacts. And finally, we've got EPA request to deal with pentachlorophenol and the water quality objectives for that. We don't consider that as much of a high priority. And the Los Angeles County Sanitation District number 14 has requested we remove beneficial use for groundwater recharge and ag use from their Paiute Pond area. We've included it on the list, but assigned it a lower priority. Just those projects alone total 12.1 PYs over 3 years. We have resources to deal with all these projects. The basin planning staff, as I mentioned, 6.6 PYs over 3 years. We have staff from other programs that help us out on many of these issues. They include the non-point source staff, in National Pollutant, Discharge Elimination System, permitting staff. We have other agencies that help out many things. You just heard how the coordination between the California Fish and Wildlife has been beneficial. We try to leverage that type of benefit when there's interagency issues. And finally, there's grant money. There's TMDL contracts. There's money and resources that come from project proponents that we use. That concludes my talk. I'm asking that the list ahead of you, before you, be adopted, and that gives us the direction for the next 3 years. Thank you.
First, board member questions? Yes, sir.
Richard, on one of your earlier slides, in fact, it was number 11, one project that caught my attention was removing a couple of beneficial uses from Paiute Pond. I want to make sure I understand this properly. This particular project will not be in the current triennial review. We'll have to wait for a future term.
We're not proposing that it be. So we can make the assumption that it will not be. The exception to that would be should the project proponent, should something occur such that the project proponent has an issue that, you know, they can't discharge, something that occurs for them that would be something that we would assign a priority because of their inability to do their job, which we would want to support. And particularly if we were given any support from them to reevaluate this, we could see ourselves working on it. It's my understanding the executive officer has some discretion here to help kind of reprioritize some of these projects based on those types of issues that may come up. I know it's kind of a vague answer, and I would solicit staff if they would like to add to that answer, but that's my understanding of the situation.
Do we know the response that L.A. County Sanitation District has given, or do we even know if they've seen this proposed list?
Yeah, we let them know that we had responded to their comment, to their request, and that response is posted on our website, and it's also in your package. And since we posted that response December 21st, I have not heard from them.
Do we have the capability of allowing the proponent of such a discussion to fund a project on their own?
Yes.
Okay. So if it were that important to them, they might even approach us and offer to help us with staff time.
That is correct. And of course, like I say, just because someone comes forward with money or resources doesn't mean we automatically take up that project. We would weigh that issue relative to the other things going on, what we consider to be, you know, priority for our mission, what this agency is here for. And the executive officer has that authority to help make these types of decisions. And obviously, it'd be up to her to decide how much involvement you folks should be involved, if you wish, to change priorities.
One more question concerning the project that involves grazing in the Bridgeport region. Did I understand you to say that the EPA has converted their standard for pathogens to E. coli?
They have issued what they call guidance. So they're saying to the states that the U.S. EPA believes that E. coli is a better indication of the detriment to water quality based on pathogens, based on the bacteria. And they encourage the states to adopt it. They give their rationale. They've done peer review. They've done all the scientific work that would substantiate such a change. So they, although are not requiring it, they're encouraging it in the form of guidance.
Do we know of any other California regional boards that have converted to the E. coli standard?
It just came out, so there's been no one that has converted. It's an active topic in our basin plan roundtables, as I mentioned. And I think I can say easily that most of the regions are considering, in fact, adopting an E. coli standard. And the criteria that came out, actually, there's two choices you can make based on an illness rate. And the EPA says you can choose the one illness rate that's more protective or the other one that's less protective. They're very similar. The difference is only 32 individuals who get sick per 1,000 that are exposed to a particular E. coli standard of 126 units versus 36. So it's a 32 per 1,000 versus 36 per 1,000 illness rate. I don't know why they came out with such close choices to make, but the states are to... states are encouraged to adopt one or the other. They're also looking at Enterococcus as another indicator bacteria as well. And there are both geometric mean that you take samples over an average time period, as well as a standard threshold value, sort of a one-time event to use as a standard to determine if your water quality has been impacted and it's no longer beneficial use for recreation. Guidance document, EPA would like the states to adopt it. State board, I can tell you, is very seriously considering using that very criteria they recommend. not sure which of the illness rate they will go with. My guess is the more restrictive of the one that's the most protective. But it's guidance that folks have been working on for quite a long time, and I would expect the State Board to adopt it almost, if not entirely, as it's written.
So if someday, if our region decided to adopt the E. coli standard, it would probably be after the State Board had adopted it?
It would be most efficient to do it that way, yes. And I'm standing here before you to recommend that we do so. Again, in working with State Board, I met with State Board staff just 2 days ago. They're at their building to talk about the latest. And they are amenable to, first off, it's a high priority for them. They want to get on it. They know that we regions are wanting this done now. It's a high priority for them to consider adopting that policy. They also are amenable to the fact that the Lahontan region, with our standard that we currently have being different than some of the other regions, may allow us a bit more time to determine if we want to accept the entire State Board policy as they adopt it, or in fact revise our water quality objectives for bacteria to something different. And that it seems that possibility will be open to us. I cannot speak for State Board, though, so I have to caution my comments. I'm only just sharing with you, some of the State Board staff and Lodge staff conversations.
Okay, thank you. I have one more question.
I have a question.
I do too.
Richard, would you comment on the fact that we have most of the PYs in this are going to go to, in essence, investigation within for bacteria within the say the Bridgeport area, whereas the ranchers seem to think that at least according to the latest letter that work's already been done. We should just be moving ahead. So could you explain the difference in opinion about what needs to be done?
I will try. Been talking to what we call our grazing advisory group within our office. We don't have in front of us evidence of best management practices that have been claimed to be put in place. We understand or we're told it's been done, but we don't have sufficient documentation, or the documentation we have is not in sufficient detail to determine whether we have best management practices, cows are being kept away from the stream, the things that we're being told are being done. So we're having a tough time, at least the grazing folks are having a tough time evaluating how effective some of these efforts are because we don't have the information available to us. Number two, we did an extensive survey of Eastern Sierra streams, not just Bridgeport Valley, in fact, mostly not Bridgeport Valley, last summer. It was the first comprehensive sampling event with both swamp as well as basin planning and other funds. And we hope to do it again this summer as well. And as you can imagine, it takes time to gather sufficient data to make evaluation because the timing of catching samples before the cows show up, during cattle grazing, and after cattle grazing doesn't always occur for all the streams. So we can't just use 1 year's worth of data because we don't have a complete data set to make this evaluation. We need multiple sets to even come up with something that we can reasonably point to as something caused by grazing or not caused by grazing. So those are just a couple examples that come to mind as to why it takes this time period to do that. I'd like to turn over to Doug Smith to answer more.
Doug Smith, supervising geologist at the Tahoe office. I just wanted to add a little info. We did receive a lot of management plans and summary of the BMPs implemented from the Bridgeport ranchers. And we had that in a rough spreadsheet. I don't have that here for you, but I want to summarize this, that a lot of the ranchers are implementing a lot of the BMPs, but they have stated in there that they are still in the process of implementing these, And they have plans over the next couple of years to continue implementing them. So they are not even done. Some of them may be further ahead than others. We also have the Prop 84 grant out there that we're hoping some of the ranchers will take advantage of that and implement some more BMPs. So we are at the really at the beginning of this. And once these are implemented, then of course has to go through a couple of seasons. We're collecting the data. We are working with them. Another thing that I wanted to point out, and this is to your question, Mr. Dias, is that the U.S. EPA comes out with guidance documents all the time for all kinds of water quality objectives. This is one example. They say, okay, it should be 126 E. coli or whatever it is. What they do is they recommend as the highest water quality, meaning this is what really everybody should set as one boundary to not go above. But states have the option of having stricter water quality. And we've done that in many instances, not only with fecal coliform, but with other constituents. We see that all the time. So that's a very common thing. And, you know, a lot of it comes down to evaluating the data, looking at what is the risk that the board would like to have. Is this 36 in 1,000 acceptable, or does the board want to have less of a risk? And currently, our standard is, if you compare it to an equivalent on the E. coli, it's much less. So there was a lot of things that we still have to work out, and we are working with this vigorously, as you can see from the from our PYs.
Thank you.
Further questions from the board? From staff?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I have two speaker cards. Mr. Michael Blum.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, board members. I'm Michael Blum, representing the U.S. Navy out of Naval Facilities Engineering Command Southwest in San Diego. And I'm here as a proponent of the Naval Air Weapons Station China Lake project. With me is Marie Dreyer from our staff as well. Kathy Monks, who is a consultant to the Navy for this particular project from Tetra Tech, and Mr. Jim McDonald out of the Environmental Office at the Weapons Station China Lake. So during the 2009 triennial review period, the board accepted the China Lake project, and one of board staff requested some additional information to evaluate the feasibility of the basin plan amendment to remove the immune beneficial use designations from portions of Salt Wells Valley and the shallow groundwater in portions of the Indian Wells Valley. We have since responded to that and addressed all of those requested items in the document. It's entitled "The Technical Justification for Beneficial Use Changes for Groundwater in those valleys." And Kathy Monks has a copy of it with her here and carries it with her everywhere she goes. So the document has been reviewed by staff, Water Board staff, and members of the community, and it's supported by the Naval Air Weapons Station's China Lake Restoration Advisory Board, the Indian Wells Valley Cooperative Groundwater Management Group, and the Indian Wells Valley Water District. And the board members have received those three letters in support of that previously during the comment period. The Navy's provided and will continue to give Water Board staff our support to continue this project and to complete it. And we are here today as we were in September, I believe it was, here in Barstow, and in October in Lake Tahoe, and we'll continue to do that. So I ask that you you approve staff's recommendation with the China Lake project. Thank you. Any questions?
Any questions? Thank you. Bill Thomas.
Good morning. Bill Thomas, Centennial Ranches and Davewood Ranches. Centennial Ranch is in the heart of the Bridgeport Valley, the dominant ranch there. And Davewood Ranch is, we ranch down at Mammoth, and our partner John Lacey ranches also at Crowley and down at Independence. This 20-colony fecal coliform standard has been an issue for this board for long-standing, as you'll recognize. Doug mentioned a little about the history, but he kind of picked it up in recent history. For us, this history started in about 04, 05, when we became focused on water quality. We were, once we noticed it, very concerned with this outlier standard, 20 fecal coliform standards, that's applicable nowhere else, not just in the state, but in the nation. We raised that significantly in 06. We started coordinating with your staff on extensive monitoring in the Bridgeport Valley. That monitoring has been extensive. It's coordinated with your staff annually and with the University of California, Davis, Dr. Ken Tate, since 06. We asked for this issue to be put on the board agenda and to be amended appropriately. Actually, the board did nothing at that time other than say, we'll address that in that 07 waiver. In the 07 waiver, the provisions were expressly put in that said we'll review this standard during the course of that waiver and make appropriate amendments. However, the board did nothing. The old triennial review, this issue was talked extensively. It was put on the review list then for action, but the board did nothing. That brings us kind of to more recent history. After that, 7 years of monitoring and 7 years of frustration on our part. You'll recall that we had the subject matter discussions at Lake Tahoe on this particular standard. And we appreciated greatly that opportunity to discuss this with you. By that time, we had filed a public records request and had assembled from the Lahont Board and State Board all the background materials that had to do with the original adoption of the 20-colony standard for Lake Tahoe. That review confirmed that there was no review or data as to any of the agricultural waters, that it had to do with Lake Tahoe. And even though we are not challenging the Lake Tahoe standard, it was apparent it was even arbitrary as to Lake Tahoe. So we talked about that in our Tahoe hearing. And there was some indication that we would deal with that probably in the next this triennial review. We also had our waiver hearing on the same hearing, a different agenda item, where we made further reference to this. The and reference is, of course, made. We'll address that in this triennial review. And we were anxious to do that. When we got the first packet of information, it was referenced earlier, the board had offered three options. The two that would amend the plan on different schedule, and one that would, again, just kind of kick the can further down the road. One of those options was, because we'll, by the time the amendment took place, have 7 years of data in Bridgeport Valley, that we make the amendment to 200 for Bridgeport to be consistent with the rest of the state, and address, as turns out to be appropriate later, other regions, other areas in the region. Interestingly, that option, of course, was supported by the Bridgeport ranchers. It was supported by ranchers in other places in the region than Bridgeport. It was supported by the California Cattlemen's Association. It was supported by Lassen County Board of Supervisors, and it was supported by the California Farm Bureau Federation. That option would have required, as the staff presented, about 6 months to actually do, because you had this big body of data, and would take about 0.5 PYs. We anticipated that was probably the course we would be on at this hearing. But we have reviewed with much frustration the new, board staff proposal, which is, again, we'll do nothing and we'll kick this can further down the road. This is after many hearings, 8+ years, extensive review, no support for the standard, all support to make an amendment. We're supposed to, I guess, be pleased because, once again, we have some of the same statements. We'll look at this during this next 5 years, and we'll probably make some changes again. We've heard that many times. We have absolutely no faith in that. Throughout this period, we and other ranchers have been implementing extensive best management controls and technologies. A lot of that is at the cutting edge. We're coordinating with Dr. Tate, Dr. Atwell, the university, on other types of things that might be helpful. We have already, as you're notwithstanding what Richard said, and Richard's just repeating what he's been told, each year we meet with your staff before cattle are turned out. We talk about precisely every practice that had been implemented preceding and what we intend to do or experiment with in the next year. We'll be having a couple months this next year's of that. We also file extensive ranch plans that point this out. So, notwithstanding kind of how Richard characterized it, we don't know what's going on. You know exactly what's going on. And what's gone on our ranch is hundreds of thousands of dollars committed to this. We do have some other things that we are experimenting with and that we intend to further look at. I anticipate, I would say that, whether there is a waiver or not, 5 years down the road, all of these environmental issues are continuing. You never get to an end point. So, waiting for the last implementation has no bearing on good management. The other interesting factor that is EPA has issued this extensive report. We have been waiting for this report for some time. We knew that this report, when it came out, was going to be dealing with the indicator species. And as anticipated, it moves from fecal coliform to E. coli. No surprise in that part. That has had a lot of discussion leading to there. The question was, what target level for that new species, the generic E. coli, would be targeted? Would it be something off of the drinking water standard of 235 and thus be equivalent to 400 or 500 fecal coliform? We didn't probably think so. Or would it come back equivalent to about the 200 fecal coliform, which would be about 126, which is what it did do? Or, and we never thought this would happen, would it come back at about 13 and be equivalent to Lahan's standard? It did not do that. It's interesting to us that we should also recognize that this EPA is an evaluation, peer-reviewed evaluation of REC 1 exposures. Most all of this talks about exposures at beaches. Most of it's California data, California beaches. That's for full body immersion and ingestion. 126, equivalent to 200. In Bridgeport, the only way we really don't have REC 1 in our ranch streams. One, to get that exposure, cowboy would fall off a horse. There is no access onto our ranches. The fishermen that have to fall off the bridge at 395 for REC 1 exposures. Notwithstanding that, we have longstanding bit the bullet that says we're going to be held to REC 1 standards. That REC 1 standard is going to be 126. We were amazed to see in the staff report that this new EPA document was being used as a reason to take no action. It's incredible to us how EPA telling you that you've got the wrong standard is reason for you to resist changing from that wrong standard. It should be compelling information. The truth of the matter is, this board should adopt that as to this pathogen standard, the option that staff has now taken away from you in their recommendation, and change Bridgeport to 200, and thereafter evaluate what we should do for the rest of the region. Part of the reason the state board is thinking of taking pathogen standard authority away from regional boards and doing a statewide standard is in large part, not exclusively, but is in large part because Lahontan has resisted to get with it as to this 20. The it's apparent to us that if this is going to change, it either has to be because you mandate this hearing, that change, and you have to do that independently because staff isn't going to help you do it. They haven't helped you do it before. They're not going to help you do it 5 years from now. Or is this matter going to kick to the state board or otherwise? We encourage your action today. We sure appreciate once again being before you. Thank you.
Thank you. First, are there any questions from board members?
I'd like to hear an informal staff reaction to Bill's comments.
Doug Smith, supervising geologist. I want to point out that the action before you is to decide whether or not we should work on this as a high priority or not. And the list that Mr. Booth presented, the 11 projects, working on having staff work on the bacteria objectives for the region and Bridgeport Valley is one of the highest priorities for our basin planning resources. It is something, contrary to what Mr. Thomas stated, that the board has done nothing. That is the furthest from the truth. The board has actually supported staff's work on this since the mid-2000s, and we have that in the record. And the task list that we have starting on page 13-41 of your packet outlines all the projects that staff has been working on. Staff has gotten money for ranchers through grants. There's been extensive work, extensive outreach, lots of meetings to try to facilitate the implementation of best management practices. It would be wrong for us to just simply take the US EPA guidance and throw that into our basin plan without seeing how that would apply to all of our waters in our region. That is something we are working on right now. We have lots of staff working on this. Mr. Booth was at State Board the last 2 days. Part of that was meeting with State Board specifically on this issue. This is something that is not idle to us. And we plan on completing all those tasks that we've outlined in an expeditious manner. And we are working on coming up with creative ways to try to tackle this issue. We understand that this is something that the public and the board would like to have fixed right away. And we are doing everything in our power to get that fixed in a judicious manner.
Thank you.
Further questions from board members?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out a coherent way to ask the questions, I guess, that I have, and not finding that coherent way, so you'll just have to bear with me. I appreciate what was just said, that this is the second highest priority on the list is to work on the problem, work on the issue of that's before us. But what's of concern to me, and what I've given a lot of thought to in the last couple of days, is to work on it to what end? And I guess that there's there were originally three possible ends that were put before the board in August, and one of those ends is to look at the question on a region-wide basis, understanding that on a region-wide basis there is much that needs to be determined, much work that needs to be done. going all the way down to saying, no, you know, we don't think that as a regional issue this is really that important, but it's crystallized in one particular location, and we could work on the issue of that's presented to us at that location. And if we did that, it would take us 0.5 PYs to accomplish that. Now, I guess the inclination that I have, and I realize sitting here that it's wrong, is to look at all these PYs and assume that all of the PYs would all start within 5 minutes of the adoption of the triennial plan. And therefore, the 0.05 PY tells me, or should tell me, that by the end of July of this year, this would all be taken care of, because it only requires 6 months. And I slowly but surely began to realize that not all of these years are going to start 5 minutes after the adoption of the triennial plan. So in truth and in fact, there's no way to exactly know when that six-month period would start to run. And therefore, I think it would be unreasonable for me to expect that this issue would be put to rest, or could be put to rest, if we had chosen the 0.05 PY, look at Bridgeport alternative, that would all be all done by July. So I know that's not possible, and I know that couldn't happen.
Yeah, and I want to just add, Peter, on the clarification of that project you're talking about, that half a PY project. This is Lori Kemper for the record, and that was taking the 200, the fecal coliform standard of 200. But back when we were talking about that option, it was before EPA had provided guidance on E. coli, and it was essentially just taking the national standard for water contact recreation and plopping it into the basin plan as it relates to Bridgeport, and hoping and not doing peer review or much in the way of CEQA, just relying on existing federal language and applying it to the Bridgeport Valley. That may or may not fix the problem, because the data that we have from the Bridgeport Valley shows they are not currently meeting 200. So I just want to provide that context, that was an option we looked at to address a specific request by Mr. Thomas, but I don't know that it would fix anything.
Okay, so if I could go on and try to ask my question. As I look at this, I hear staff telling me that Mr. Thomas is being unreasonable in what he's requesting, and that what he's requesting is not something that we can do. On the other hand, as I look at this, I also see a situation in which we have, and let me back up, I also hear staff, and please tell me if I'm hearing you incorrectly, so I can stop being foolish as soon as possible. I hear staff telling me that Mr. Thomas is protected here because we adopted the waiver earlier this year that's good for 5 years. And I get that. I get the sense of that, not just theoretically, but as a practical matter. The problem I have here is that I don't see that the time frame that's set out before us, it's going to be a race between the expiration of another waiver, the second waiver for Bridgeport, and whatever needs to be done in order to realize the goal or the objective that's priority number two here, which is to deal with this on a region-wide basis. And I have some real concerns in my mind that the race is going to be won so that we don't have to do a third waiver. So I guess what I'm asking is whether or not, and if not, why not, there isn't a way to incrementally approach this problem. It starts with a place where most of the work has been done, accepting that not all of the work that needs to be done has been done, and that particular place can't be addressed in an appropriate manner during this 3-year period, so that we don't have to go to another triennial plan to include that particular location, that being Bridgeport, but that we can try to seek resolution as to that during that period of time. I hope that I'm asking this question not because I'm provincial and that Bridgeport is located in the county where I live, because I think I'm trying really hard not to come from that perspective. I think that managing the situation by waiver is not the optimal approach. And I think that if you get into the, and I'm not saying that we are in, but if you get into the habit of management by waiver, it's another way of saying this is really hard, and we, for whatever reasons, we just can't deal with it at this point. So we'll acknowledge that what we could enforce is wrong, and so we just won't enforce it until we can find another approach to that. And I think as a short-term deal, that's probably okay. As a 10-year approach, I think it leaves something to be desired. So I'm just wondering whether or not we can get to resolution in the place where we've acknowledged that there is some sense of a difficulty with what's already in the plan by enacting 2 waivers to deal with that location sometime inside this 3-year triennial period.
Thank you for your question, Richard Booth again. I will talk more about some of the first issues you brought up, Mr. Pumphrey. One of the questions you had is, Mr. Thomas, unreasonable? And I would say that it's not so much of an unreasonableness as an interpretation of how much valid data he believes is available to us in the past 7 years, for example, versus how much we actually have enabled us to make a decision. He believes there is, we believe there is not. Hence the need for more data. Is he protected? Certainly with a waiver as it is now, with a 200 interim standard, he's protected for that standard. Some of the data we gathered last year, and that report that I'm referring to is referenced in several response to comments in your package, indicated that with cattle are allowed unrestricted access to water, 200 coliform cannot be met. And in some cases, it is not met. In many cases, it is, but in many cases, it's not. So I would caution all of you to consider that 200 is attainable everywhere, every time. We haven't seen that yet. But I would caution you that we don't have a whole lot of data to make that statement. And then you mentioned the timetable of 5 years. As you can see, and we've presented in Table 3 of the staff report, there is a 3-year period of continued data gathering and evaluation the staff believes is necessary, given the seasonality of our region and such. After evaluation is made, if we want to change the basin plan to adopt a different standard, if we decide to go that way, that tacks on additional time that may exceed, in fact, the 5-year waiver that exists for grazing in the Bridgeport Valley. If other staff have more to address on that timing, I welcome them, but that's my take on it from a basin planning amendment objective.
So I think you probably answered my next question that I scribbled down, which was, you know, what in your estimation is the gap in terms expressed in terms of time between the data that you have and the data that you need, and I think I heard an indication that was probably a 3-year period.
That's correct. 3-year period of data gathering. Evaluation is in there, and then of course the amendment process itself.
So 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 I'm wrestling with the idea that I have in my mind that the original option that was later withdrawn from discussion was an illusion of some sort.
The option, excuse me one moment, I'm going to grab my paper. I apologize for the confusion on this. I appreciate the opportunity right now to kind of clarify. The option, as folks refer to it as option two, included two phases, and we're all tend to forgetting the second phase. It's related to the entire option. The first phase, as we outlined, was a 6-month 0.5 PY effort to change the basin plan as possible. We want to throw out all the possible options, whether we agree with them or not. That's the whole point of an option. Phase two of that option was to work on the revision, if necessary, of bacterial water quality objectives for the rest of the region. And that's the big effort. That's the five PYs over 3 years. So it's not as if we could deal with Bridgeport and sit back and not worry about anything else. We've got the rest of the region to consider. And that's why an inefficiency is introduced now that the US EPA criteria is out, to do just Bridgeport Valley.
Okay, well, I wasn't trying to suggest that we exclude the rest of the region from consideration of this particular water quality issue.
Sorry, I didn't mean to imply you did either.
And I think that I'm not implying that were the standard at Bridgeport to be made 200 by board action, that would suddenly mean that the water quality as measured in the valley would never exceed 200, and therefore no one would ever be subject to a violation just because we had changed the number. I understand that if you can't conform to that number, whatever the number is, 10, 200, 12 billion, if you can't conform to it, you're out of compliance. Okay, so I wasn't looking at this as though it was going to create some protective shield, but I it concerns me to do management by waiver, which is an acknowledgement of the fact that what you're managing to isn't appropriate. And so the best way to deal with the inappropriateness is to acknowledge it and then institute a waiver. And then, if necessary, institute another waiver. And at some point in time, I just think that it would be cleaner in a lot of senses to just figure out what's appropriate. And I was under the impression, and apparently it's a wrong impression, but I was under the impression from our discussions in Lake Tahoe that for the Bridgeport area, that we're a lot closer to being able to fix it than we were anywhere else. And that if we were going to be able to fix it anywhere, that would be the place we could start. And we could start with that somehow, in my little mind, it seemed fairly expeditiously. It appears that I've misunderstood that.
Peter, if I could just respond in terms of what a waiver does. So, actually, a waiver is not the best tool in this situation because a waiver just essentially, for one, you have to be in compliance with the basin plan to have a waiver, and this never actually has been. That's always been a concern of mine. But a waiver is a waiver of waste discharges. It's essentially saying to someone, if you do these things, you don't need a WDR. And so that's what we generally do for certain types of general discharges, like certain industries that we can push together. So here, there's actually no real rush in terms of the regulation. They're not subject to citizen suits. And currently, we have not ever followed up with any type of enforcement. So doing nothing from a legal standpoint for the Bridgeport ranchers and for us, there's no real consequence, if that makes sense.
Okay, I wasn't. If it sounded like I was impugning the good faith of myself and or the staff, I wasn't. I rarely impugn the good faith of myself, and certainly would not in any way want to suggest that I was doing that now. I just think that let me finish. I fully appreciate how much work has gone into this, and I have to confess that after a long discussion of PYs and arraying the PYs and looking at them, I sometimes feel as though I'd have too much to drink, because it's really hard for me to sort of array those, see how that's going. So I this is a hard discussion for me to follow. And so it's certainly not without the possibility that that I misunderstood what was potentially possible from our earlier discussion. I just would hope that this is something that we can address as expeditiously as we can, that's the only point I was trying to make.
Council?
Well, I did want to just follow up to point out that there are actually a number of programs or projects that we're not pursuing because we don't have the resources at this point that are actually subject to MPDS permits, and we can't permit them because we don't have the numbers in our basin plan that they can meet. We need to make site-specific objectives, and actually those entities are subject to citizen suit. So in some ways, you know, there is a greater concern in that realm than there is here in terms of that that protection, that legal protection.
If I may, Peter, I do agree with you. If it's possible to expedite it,
So if the board is concerned that that the planned work that will go on, and it appears from the record that this work, collecting the data, will go into the next triennial review, and if that is unsatisfying to the board, I offer you an idea on compromise. This is something that you are looking to staff to work on. We've said we've worked on this. Regarding the Bridgeport area, this is not solely to be borne by the staff. The workload should be shared by the Bridgeport ranchers, because what staff has said is that we are relying on the Bridgeport ranchers to complete their implementation of the BMPs. Currently, the waiver has an end date of 2017. And we've worked an aggressive schedule in there, which has not required monitoring in the last year, because they have agreed to an implementation schedule that completes by about 2016. So if my math is correct, if the message is to expedite this, the message should be to both staff and the Bridgeport ranchers that the Bridgeport ranchers should expedite by at least 1 year their aggressive implementation of BMPs, meaning we have done every BMP that we can reasonably put in here, and this is the best water quality that we can get, and work with us on designing an aggressive monitoring schedule so that we get that data, so that by the end of the 3 years of the triennial review, we are at a stage that we can say, yay, nay, here's what we're going to do. That's probably the best that I could commit to. But it relies on aggressive implementation by the Bridgeport ranchers. And the schedules that we have been received, that we've been given, say that they've got some more implementation. You heard Mr. Thomas say he's trying some other stuff. He's not the only one. He's one of many.
A question?
Yes.
Thank
questions from other board members? I thank you for all your hard work. God knows, as you're hanging in there. I think we've heard all everything in the from the public. I will, let's see, did I open the public hearing? Yes, I'll close the public hearing. Discussion by the board.
Well, I think we've had pretty much everything out on the table. I think I'll support the staff recommendations as they've been presented to us and as they've been discussed.
Is that a motion?
It is a motion.
I'll second the motion.
Motion and second on the proposed resolution. Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? It's unanimous in support. I'll move to item